Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, have you read the new book on preaching by Chuck Swindoll?
Yeah, it's called Saying It Well. I got a review copy in the mail, and I immediately put it on my reading list. And probably within the week after I got it, I'd gone all through it. Chuck's one of those really exceptional communicators. And it was neat in my mind that he put his thoughts down while he's still in the middle of the game, I guess you could say. His preaching is very good and his writing is very good. He's done I don't know how many books, but this is not a book of his sermons. It's a book of his experience of how he puts together sermons. I recalled numbers of times in my own life when I would turn on the radio in the Chicagoland area and Chuck Swindoll would be on, and I'd think, well, I'll get there and I'll just turn it off. But he's hard to turn off. So I would get to a certain place and then I'd stop the car and just, you know, listen until he came to the end or the music came in underneath. And I think I'd like to be able to preach like that. So he's somebody I admire a great deal. I think he's very good at what he's done. And one thing about the book, and I'd be interested, Dean, to get your response to it, because I called you before I came to actually do these podcasts with you, and I said, have you seen the book and you need to read it? Chuck underscores in what he has written the incredibly difficult work preaching can be. To do it well, it's not easy. You have to really work at it. And that's one of the things that comes out from what he says. He disciplines himself. It's important to him. He makes it a priority, and he gives it the hours that are needed to make sure when he stands up to preach, he has a word from the Lord.
Yeah, his background as the United States Marine brings that military discipline that kind of has been an underpinning of his ministry, and you can see that in his description of how he digs for information before he begins the process. I suppose over the years, you must have read any number of books about preaching. How was this one unique, and how did it stack up with others you've read?
I haven't figured that out in my mind, but I would say it's a good book. It's well worth reading. Probably, if there's a distinction regarding Chuck Swindoll, he has a large church, or he had a large church, and he's always worked in executive positions where he has teams. Now, his teams do not do the research for him. His sermons are his work, but he does have, when he was in California, he had a large staff, and the large staff covered an awful lot of the duties that many pastors are going to be involved with. So he has that great gift of being given time. And some ministers may say, you know, I'd like, if I had that many people working under me, I could do that as well. I'm not sure that's the case, and I'm not sure he always had that. But again, if there's anything that maybe separates him, is that he's talking of a ministry over a large staff and a large congregation, where it may be hard for the person in a situation where there are 70 people or 150 people in the church and the minister does everything, that may be hard for them. But I think even then, the chapters there are extremely well done. I thought the chapter on prayer, remember that one? Mm-hmm. I thought that was exceptional. I felt like he was saying things that I hadn't read in books before. So my personal feeling is that this was not easy for him to do because it's just another job, and he's taken on many, many jobs. He has all kinds of responsibilities. But he fit this into his life, and I'm very glad he did. I felt as though it gave us an insight into him, how he became who he is, and how he continues to maintain that great love of preaching that he has.
I particularly appreciated that very early in the book, he affirms everything we've been teaching.
Yes, I think that's true. That's kind of, and I felt that as I was reading through. I kept saying, amen. He would not say it that way. He would say, those guys have finally figured out what I figured out a long time ago.
Speaking of laughter, which we're laughing, he has a chapter on laughing. What was unusual about that?
I have a good sense of humor, but I don't bring it to the pulpit that much. And my sense of humor is more subtle, and Chuck is very good, and I learn things from him. At the same time, he's much more natural than I am as far as the use of his humor. And you can kind of hear the twinkle in his voice, not his eye, but in his voice when he's going to go into one of those funny things. And there's humor all through the book as far as that's concerned. So I felt it was good. I felt it was helpful. It's not something I'm real comfortable with. Sometimes I've used it. I would say another major thing, Dean, that he talked about, and this was woven in and out all through his chapters and sometimes written about specifically, was the point of authenticity. You have to live what you're talking about, or you have to be open with your people and say, this is something I'm struggling with, but who you are backs up what you say. So that was a very major point, once again, that I felt very strongly about, but I've never vocalized that much. So
I had a part that turned my crank, and I'll tell you what that was if you'll share what about the book kind of turned your crank.
Will you listen to what I'm sharing so that you're not thinking about what turned your crank while I'm...
Well, I already know what turned my crank.
Okay. I came to the place where there were, I would say the section on applying was the one that really got my greatest amount of enthusiasm going. But just to give a specific, I'm being asked to speak again to a group of mission leaders from all around the world. And he said, kind of put yourself in their shoes when you go somewhere. I'm just reading a short paragraph. Chuck Swindoll says, I always think in terms of challenges. I ask myself, what challenges, trials, or difficulties will my audience face, and how can I equip them to succeed? When asked to speak to a group of Ryder truck leaders, I recalled what it was like to be out of town, alone in a hotel, feeling lonely and tired, hundreds of miles from accountability, a perfect setup for a moral tumble. I remember having to be proactive in guarding my purity and the practical steps I took to remain above reproach. So when the group convened in Las Vegas, I spoke on integrity. The applications of my message addressed some sensitive areas, but because I spoke as a sympathetic fellow struggler, they received my practical suggestions without becoming defensive. That was very helpful to me. Now I'm going to speak to this group of mission leaders, like the leader of South America, the leader of Southern Africa, the leader of Eastern Africa, but they're all these leaders are coming together. I spoke to them last year on prayer, and they've said, you have the opening devotional for them. And I'm trying to say, what from my experience can relate to where those people are? And so I basically said, with me, when I was in broadcasting, one of the hardest weeks was when the national religious broadcasters came together. It was all of my peers. And I don't know why that was, but when the peers all came together, it made me insecure. There were a huge number of people who did nothing but talk about themselves. There were other people who had, you know, and then I had my own set of demons. So that was a very hard time for me. And I thought, now, how did I make it so that I would go to that every year and somehow not be destroyed? Because my wife would say, you're pretty good for 2.5 days, then you go bonkers. So here are these, all these leaders coming together, and just like in the religious broadcasters, they're all believers. And I'm thinking, now, why was that hard for me, and what did I do that helped me? So it's just like him saying, I'm going to talk to the Ryder truck people and so on. So I've got that, and I'm going to be very honest with the people when I go in there and say, that was a hard week for me. And here's how I tended to get around it, which was to say, Jesus, how would you respond in a situation like this where you're not always the one who's in the spotlight? And so I'm going to pass out what I did. I took a rough cement nail, and I would carry it in my pocket all the time when I went to the religious broadcasters. And I would feel that nail, and I would say, now, Jesus, you came from heaven and the earth, and you even suffered the indignities of the cross. And these are good people, and I'm following you. Just remind me of who you are and how you're helping me. So I'm going to give them all a nail. I would say during these 3 days, every so often you may need to go to your pocket or whatever, your purse or whatever, and just get the nail and hold it in your hand. And I think it'll help you. And if you don't have a problem like I had a problem, then don't worry about it. You know, just chunk the nail. It didn't cost me that much. But if it does help you, praise the Lord. So I'm basically trying to say exactly what Chuck did. How do I get into their world so when I'm talking to them about the experience they're going through, it'll be something that's fresh with them? Okay?
Huh, that's excellent. Well, now I'll tell you what turned my crank.
Okay, I'm listening to
it. It turned my crank that Chuck Swindoll, who has preached thousands of sermons over the years on to his churches and then reformatted for radio, types out his sermon notes in a very unique way on a Selectric typewriter.
It still does.
And still does. And in fact, they have reproduced in the back of the book the pages of notes for the series of sermons that he's giving, that he's going to give, that he has, the book explains how he prepared for those sermons. And so then you can actually see his sermon notes in the back. And I thought to myself, he talks about computers and he's not adverse to computers, but there's something about using that Selectric typewriter that's very much a part of who he is, and so he continues to use it, even to the point of talking about coming up with a change at the last minute and sitting down and typing that page out. He uses smaller pages. And that brought to my mind that 33 years ago, I sat in your office in Wheaton, Illinois, and watched you take a fountain pen, a real ink pen, and jot down this, I would call it a rubric, into which you slotted key things that helped you prepare to write a broadcast. And it's actually out of that rubric, the upper part of that rubric, that we get our four Sermon Coach key ideas of subject, response, how to, and how long. Maybe someday we can talk about some of those other lower parts of the rubric, the bridge and all of those kinds of things. In fact, I have in my files a typewritten version of that that I created so that I could listen to the Chapel of the Air broadcasts and fill that matrix out as I listened to the broadcasts. In fact, that's how I learned to create sermons using your methodology. So when I saw the typed notes of Chuck Swindoll, it reminded me of that, you sitting there with your real ink pen, and the key, it wasn't a ballpoint pen, wouldn't do, it was a real ink pen, making notes on that rubric. And actually you created the rubric each time you wrote those points down and then filled them in. And that there's a discipline in that, just as there's a discipline in the way that Chuck creates his notes. Again, in his case, it goes back to that Marine Corps experience. His time in the Marine Corps, actually God used to point him in the direction where he would become a full-time minister of the gospel. And he tells that story in the book. And it's very interesting to see how that plays out all these many years later in his life.
Yeah, it's interesting. You like him as a person, don't you? You feel like you know him even better after you read the book.
He comes across very likable.
If you're one of those few guys who or women who hasn't yet seen the book, it's called Saying It Well, Chuck Swindoll. And there's a great picture of Chuck on the front as well. So get a copy of it. I think you'll find it very practical.
We thank you for joining us for our time together, and we invite you to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. We invite you to join us for our next sermoncoach.com podcast.